Well, if the song service this morning indicates what it's going to be like tonight, you will not want to miss tonight. Amen. Excellent job, choir and Pastor Brett, leading us into the throne of God in our worship as we fellowship with one another in song. This morning's sermon is certainly a sermon in recognition of our Senior Adult Sunday. But if you're not a senior adult, don't think you have permission just to check off and not pay attention, because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that's for all generations. So you will be able to leave here today, hopefully, if it's prayed up well enough, encouraged in the strength, and be able to apply God's Word to your life regardless of what life stage you're in. But this is a message specifically for our senior adult recognition, and I titled my sermon today, Senior Moments. Did I tell you all that I love you very much? I had a senior moment this week. And if you follow me on Facebook, you know what it is, but many of you don't, and that's fine. But earlier in the week, of course, you all probably don't know, but I've had four loads of dirt brought in to take care of one of the banks where I cut grass. St. Joe owns that property. But anyway, long story short, got dirt brought in, sowed the grass, and put straw down. I've been watering it like crazy, you know, and it was one of those days where the windows were open. It's just a perfect night. Sienna said, let's fry chicken on the bone. So I got my heavy cast iron skillet out, and I didn't have enough lard, but got the shortening in the pan. And anyway, frying this chicken, the windows are open. I hear the kids playing, and I hear a great posse of kids come down the street. And usually when kids come down the street, which is fine, they tend to cut across our lot. And I'm just thinking, I just watered that grass for 2 hours. And I knew what those kids were going to do. So I literally stopped frying chicken, and I go to the screen window, and one of them is already ankle deep in the mud. And I said, hey, don't walk across my grass. And the other one hit off down into the area too, and I said, get out of my grass. I'm trying to grow grass. It's muddy. It's wet. And about that time, my beagle dog jumps in the window, and she starts barking. I'm barking out the window, and Becky and Tyser they want to find a pillow to hide under because they told me now I've earned the nickname Grumpy Old Man Lobinger in the neighborhood. And I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't want my grass to be destroyed with all the work that I got put in it. I guess it comes with advancing in years. You just get things a particular way, and you just kind of want them done in a particular manner. And maybe some people grow into that far earlier than others do. But senior adults, the Bible speaks clearly, and the Bible uses many examples of senior adult men and women in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that God calls and that God uses and that God uses to bring Him glory and to accomplish His will and purpose this side of heaven. But I love and have always loved senior adults and ministering to senior adults. Matter of fact, my wife basically has told me many times, you never were a teenager. You just slipped right into middle age real easily. But I've always enjoyed ministering and talking and being around senior adults. And I love the senior adults of the First Baptist Church of Deloge, because when I think about our senior adults, a couple of words come to mind. First is servants. Servants. Senior adults here at First Baptist Church of Deloge, you all are servants, because, goodness, what is accomplished during the day in our family ministry center could not be accomplished if our senior adults weren't in there volunteering and keeping the place open during the day. And for that, thank you. But our senior adults are also active in missions, whether it be going to Peru or going to Haiti, or supporting missions locally, or giving of their money for missions. Our senior adults are active in teaching in various areas through the church. Our senior adults are active in learning, wanting to learn, coming to services, coming to Bible studies, the Sunday school, and so forth. Our senior adults are servants in their offering and in benevolence to those who are in need. Our senior adults are also lovers. Lovers of the Lord. Lovers to have fun. Being around this group of senior adults on Thursday nights and whenever they play games or wherever that is, or walking down the corridors and hearing the laughter pour out of Sunday school classrooms, or seeing them go on trips with the Owls, our senior adults love to have fun. But some of our senior adults are also getting married. And man, how awesome is that to be able to join our senior adults, those who God are leading together in matrimony. That's just an exciting thing for me. But then I also know a few of our senior adults ride Harleys. A couple had orange flames painted on the side of their SUV. And some go to Daytona and come back tattooed. I mean, what other Baptist preacher can say that about their senior adults, amen? Let's give them a hand. Come on. Life is worth living as long as you got breath, amen? And boy, we got to seize that and enjoy that. I was listening to Billy Graham's grandson speaking this morning on my way here, and he said that whenever you are ready to die by faith in Christ, then you are truly ready to live. And man, that just encapsulated the day for me. But let's talk about now about God's Word. And let's look at what God's Word says, not just about senior adults, but about aging in general. Not just about aging, but also aging in the midst of conflict and affliction as well. Now, I'm going to do something that I would probably get in trouble with my professor of preaching. We're still going to be in 2 Corinthians, but we're going to skip ahead a few chapters, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, specifically verses 16, 17, and 18. And while you're opening up to 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 17, and 18, I will read these verses. Paul says, "So we do not lose heart, though our inner self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient," maybe momentary, "but the things that are unseen are eternal." Well, let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to open up your word that you've given to us and just be able to study it and learn from it, but Father, also have it transform our lives as we put these biblical truths to practice and get our faith fingers wrapped around them. So God, I pray that as we engage in these three verses, bless us, all generations in this room, with this word, so that Father, we can be empowered to live by faith, to live with courage, to live with boldness, to live in your strength, the strength that you provide your people. And Father, I am so grateful that you are above and beyond anything that this world or life may bring our way. But Father, I'm also grateful that in anything that this world and life brings our way are teachable moments. So help us to embrace those times as well. Father, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these three verses, I think, will hopefully give us two encouraging thoughts that we can put into our minds and our hearts and allow it to act out in faith in practice. First, we can see here that we are to be encouraged in life because God's spiritual renewal is daily. We are to be encouraged in life because God's spiritual renewal is daily. Now, what's the Apostle Paul doing here? The Apostle Paul, has a long ministry. He has a lot of history with the Corinthian church. And there's obviously some problems. There's some difficulties that the Apostle Paul has had with ministering to the Corinthian church. Now, that doesn't mean the Apostle Paul doesn't love the Corinthian church. As a matter of fact, he expresses his love to them abundantly, and we'll see that in the next weeks to come as we finish up chapter 1 and get into chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, although there is conflict and disruption and affliction that he has had as a result of ministering to the Corinthian church, he deeply loves them. So, with that, he wants them to be encouraged in the faith, encouraged in the circumstances, encouraged in what's going on. So how does he begin this? He says, I don't want us so that we do not lose heart. Our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. We should be encouraged because God's spiritual renewal is daily. Now, there's two trains of thought and how to interpret what the Apostle Paul is saying. One is that the Apostle Paul is just speaking about all the trials and tribulation that Christians were going through regarding standing up and living faithfully for Christ. I mean, we look at the Apostle Paul's life, and boy, he sacrificed a lot. He was thrown in jail, he was beaten, his feet were in stocks, he was shipwrecked. All of these things happened to the Apostle Paul, but he never lost courage. He proclaimed he was weak at times, but in his weakness he realized that God was strong and made him strong. There's another avenue that people take in interpreting these verses, that the Apostle Paul is talking about aging, talking about death or dying, talking about what it means for our outer self, our outer man to waste away because it's cursed with sin, it has sickness, it's terminal, you know, all of these things. And as I look at the text and have come, you know, just tried to think through what the Word of God is saying, I think we can clearly accept both of these trains of thought as certainly contextually involved in what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't lose heart. Realize this truth, and we're going to be seeing some compare and contrasting through these three verses that the Apostle Paul is wanting us to see. He says, don't lose heart. Yes, your outer self is wasting away. What would it have been like to have seen the Apostle Paul's body? To see the scars that he had? Perhaps the ailments or the limp or the impediments that he had as a result of serving Christ boldly, going on this now his second missionary journey, which was his longest one, and mainly by foot. What would the Apostle Paul's body look like as a result of 100% depositing it all to the sake and the glory of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul is saying, don't lose heart because your outer self, your body is wasting away. Because he wants you to realize something. Although the body is wasting away, it bears scars, it bears impediments, it is aging, perhaps it is sick, whatever it is. Although your outer self is wasting away, the hope is this. Your inner self is being renewed day by day. I hope that we can, if we can feel, come to the point in our life as believers in Christ, sons and daughters of God through Jesus, I hope that we come to a point in our life that even if the outer self is being afflicted, the outer self is ill, the outer self is weak, the outer self is going through affliction, the outer self is aging, we realize, regardless of what time is doing to our body, our soul is being renewed day by day. God desires for our souls to be renewed, our spirits to be renewed, our inner self, that being that is eternal, to be renewed day by day. We need to be encouraged by the fact that regardless of what happens to our outer body, that our soul is being renewed day by day. It is God's design that through the Spirit, through prayer, through reading, through serving, through a history of walking with Christ day in and day out, that your soul, be renewed day by day. That is a promise that God wants. And this is health and wealth gospel won't tread on these verses, because the hope and the promise is not that our bodies are going to be perfect. The hope and the promise is that our souls, our inner self, will be renewed day by day. So we need to be encouraged, because God's spiritual renewal is daily. It's not just Sunday. I mean, I understand. You know, we come to Sunday, we get under Brett's tutelage as he leads us in worship, and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ sing and play and help with audio and visual, and we just embrace that and we enjoy it, and it lifts our hearts, it points us to Christ, and man, yes, and we should come here so that we can leave changed. But that is a promise that God wants for us daily. My goodness, it's noon. I got to get going. Number two, be encouraged, for God's glory is awesome. Be encouraged, for God's glory is awesome. Let's read verses 17 and 18 again. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, you know you're getting older when the only thing you want for your birthday is to not be reminded of it. Amen? One precious lady said, as she was being interviewed and asked by her doctor, "I see your birthday is April 12th. What year?" And her simple reply was, "Every year." Point taken, right? Well, we need to understand that what we are going through in this life, in this world, what we see, the things that we experience here, is merely light, momentary affliction. As our outer self wastes away, however that may take place, we need to understand that how that happens is a mere light, momentary affliction preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What we are going through, Paul wants us to know, is light, because what we are being prepared for as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ is heavy. And that is the heaviness, the weight, of the eternal glory of God. So we put that to practice by remembering something, that as we look to the things that are seen, the things that are seen are transient, are temporal. What we see around us, our country, our world, our church, each other, our families, our jobs, our health, our wealth, whatever it is, the things that we see are temporal, but the things that we long to look into, the things that we come and we are pointed heavenly where we don't see them yet, those things are absolutely 100% promised to be eternal. And we have to kind of get our minds wrapped around the things that we've got to focus our eyes on something specific. Now, whenever we're being afflicted, whenever we're going through aging, whenever we're not feeling well, whatever it is, we can tend to focus our eyes on the things that we see. Doctor's visits, medications, ailments, liniments, whatever, affliction, turmoil, strife. We tend to tunnel focus on those things. We have tunnel vision, but the Word of God wants us to know, yes, you'll see those things. Those things are momentary. Those things are light. You need to set your eyes on the things that are unseen. Because the things that are unseen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Christ's return, heaven, what that means to have a relationship with God eternally through Christ, what you cannot see, those are the things that are eternal. So I got to ask yourself this question. I got to ask you the question. You ask yourself this question. What are your eyes set upon? What are your eyes set upon? What are your thoughts set upon? Are your eyes set upon the eternal or the temporal? Are your thoughts set upon the light, temporary afflictions? Or are your thoughts set upon the weighted glory of God? You see, what we think and what we see is really going to make us what we are. If we have our thoughts set on the weighted glory of God, if we have our eyes set on the eternality of God in Christ and the Holy Spirit, then whatever is thrown our way can be taken with a grain of salt, because we know God is bigger. We know eternity is longer. And we know God's glory is absolutely 100% awesome. And that's what we will see eternally. And that's what you will see eternally if you have bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It won't be a perfect life, but it will be a perfect eternity with God the Father. So what's God speaking into your heart today? What is His still small voice saying to you? I hope that if He is telling you, redirect your thoughts away from the light affliction to the eternal glory, you'll do that. I hope that if He's telling you, stop looking at what is temporal and look at what is eternal, do that. Your perspective will change profoundly. And if you're here today and you have spent your entire lifetime rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then may today be the day you bow your knee to Jesus and confess Him as Lord and Savior. Let's stand and pray. God, I thank You for this day. And Father, I thank You for the attentiveness that this group of people that You've led here today have afforded me. I pray now, God, that as we embark on this time of invitation, that all of us in this room would respond to the affirmative in what You have spoken to us through Your Word. Father, I pray that tired and weary souls will be renewed, strengthened, and fed. I pray, Father, that bloodshot eyes that spend every hour of every day looking into the temporal things would be renewed and refreshed as they look into the eternal glory of God. And Father, I pray today that if there be those who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day they would say yes to Jesus. This I ask in His name. Amen.